Once again, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well on a Sunday morning once again. And good to see everybody here. And we're going to get started with our last message this morning of this series, talking about the responsibilities of membership in the body of Christ, responsibilities of membership in your local congregation, which hopefully by now we've understood that that's one and the same, right? So kind of bear with me as I review a little bit, because we're at the last and I want to kind of put it all together. So I will try to get through the review rather quickly so that we can get as much out of the message as we possibly can. Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2 will be your scripture focus for this morning. If you want to turn there, that would be okay. So the first three sermons of this series dealt with the responsibilities that we have as members of the body of Christ. And the first one was to protect the unity of the body of Christ and the unity of the congregation, whichever congregation you serve at and with. And we talked about how to do that was to act in love, was the first thing. Loving God and loving people generally. And the second thing we talked about was refusing to gossip. If you remember, I'm pretty sure that you all remember that particular point in that sermon, because it kind of, we were all ready to move on by the time we were done talking about gossiping, right? Because it seems to be a challenge for a lot of people, and it does destroy congregations and destroys the unity of the body of Christ, so we should not desire to participate in the gossip. And then the third thing in that sermon was to follow the leaders that God has put in place. Pray for them and support them and continue to serve alongside of them and follow God's lead through them. And at the same time, hold them accountable with God's help, of course. So that was number one sermon. Number two message was to share in the ministry responsibilities of the body of Christ and of the local congregation, namely Oak Grove Christian Church for us. And the first ministry that you participate in is to share in is the ministry of prayer. Right? We pray for one another. Not only that we pray about our sicknesses, which are important, not only that we pray about our immediate needs, which are important, but we pray especially that we would all grow in Christ and that we would all continue to serve God well, right? Together in unity. Ultimately, praying that the church, the body of Christ, and the local congregation would grow in number. And it's okay to pray for that. Because we're to go out and make disciples, right? And if we're to go out and make disciples and we're successful in following God's lead, then our churches ought to grow. Bottom line, isn't it? So that's what we talked about there. So we shared in that prayer ministry. We also share in the evangelistic ministry of the church by inviting others to our fellowship. Not just Sunday morning worship, which that is one of our times of fellowship and worship, but also in our eating meetings, in our home Bible studies, and are inviting people to your home when you're having a meal together so that you have opportunity to share life. And then the third part of sharing in the ministry responsibilities of the body of Christ was to warmly welcome all who respond to those invitations. Right? And we all agree that it's nothing worse than walking into a church and feeling like you don't belong there because of the way that people are in that church. We praise God that we're not going to be that church, right? We praise God that God's going to help us to be what He wants us to be in regards to evangelism, in regards to making disciples and loving Him and loving people, right? Because that's our goal, isn't it? So that was the number two message. And then last week's message was the responsibility of the membership to serve in the ministries of the body of Christ and in the local congregation, right? The first thing we talked about was discovering gifts and talents. We can't use gifts and talents if we don't discover them. We can't be used by God in the way of the gifts and talents that He's given us if we don't know what they are. So we need to seek the Lord in finding those out. The second thing was to be equipped, meeting together and studying the Bible together and praying together and serving together, encouraging one another, holding each other accountable. We equip one another. We're building each other up for the glory of God, right? That's what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. You're participating in that. And then the second point was to be, or the third point was to develop a servant's heart. And we said, I think if I'm not mistaken, if I was paying attention to the preacher last week, I think he said that the first two kind of lead up to the third. If we're doing all of these things, right? If we desire to be around the church and the body of Christ and the service and the fellowship and the worship and all of that comes along with it, we will develop. God will make us into a servant heart type of person. Our hearts will begin to be molded the way He wants them to be, and we will continue to be used by Him according to His will and for His glory. Isn't that great? That's what the church is about. That's what the body of Christ is about, no matter where it exists in this world. Right? Every church that says that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, every church that we could call brothers and sisters in Christ, every congregation, we are to be the same, aren't we? People ought to meet believers everywhere and find God, the same God. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning in our final message, how the membership responsibility of the body of Christ, if you're a member, you're responsible for the testimony of the body of Christ. Not just to put out a testimony, not just to be a witness, but you're responsible, and I'm responsible, that my witness and my testimony supports the testimony of the kingdom of God. All right, I'm going to give you the end first. That doesn't mean you can get up and leave. That's just what I'm going to do. What it means is, when people see my testimony for the kingdom of God, it ought to match yours. And all of our testimonies ought to match what the scripture says the kingdom of God is. There should be no inconsistencies. So let me start off real quick by telling you this I think it's funny, this story. There was this zoo somewhere in the world, and they were renowned for their great collection of different types of animals. So everybody would come all around and come and see these animals. And they had this gorilla who, for some reason or another, passed away. And they didn't know what to do, because they can't not have gorillas, because they're known for having almost every animal there is to have in their zoo. So they took one of their employees, and they dressed him up like a gorilla, and that's what they paid him to do, walk around and be a gorilla every day. That was his job. Seems pretty simple. So he's doing the best he can do. He doesn't know how to be a gorilla. He's doing the best he can do to walk around and be a gorilla. He's just like moping around and whatever. And somehow or another, he got too close to the wall that separates him from the lions. And he tripped and fell into the lion's area. And it scared him so much, he started screaming out for his life. He thought his life was over. He thought this lion was going to come and eat him up. He starts screaming out, "Help me, somebody." And the lion comes running over to him. And he says, "Shut up, man. You're going to get us both fired." That's just a silly story, but it's funny to me. So now let's think about who we are in Christ and our testimony, right? When you and I walk into the world, living our lives as Christians, everybody knows you're a Christian. Whoever knows you're a Christian. And if they don't know you're a Christian after a little bit of time with you, then something's wrong, right? You don't have to say it and advertise it, just how you are in Christ. God should show up when you come around. So people know, right? The biggest problem, and I think there was a sermon before this series that we talked about how people don't come to church because of the people in the church. They don't want to come to church because the people in the church don't even agree with each other or don't like each other or whatever the case they think it is, right? So what is it if the world is watching the church? If the world is watching the believers, and they are, right? And we're doing a pretty good job of living the Christian life, or at least acting like we're living the Christian life, right? And then something happens, and our act, or our pretendingness, or whatever you want to call it, it's not even a word. But if that's what we're doing, if we're not genuine, we're going to get scared when the heat gets turned up, and then the world will really see if we are an actual gorilla or not. And then the fake lion's going to come up and say, "Shut up, man. You're going to get us all fired." The point is, The Christian testimony about God and His kingdom has got to be what the Bible says it is. Right? The way that you and I live the Christian life, the way that we participate in the body of Christ, the way that we make disciples, the way that we love God, and the way that we love people needs to match the way that Jesus says it's done. Right? Now, some of you, and including myself, sit back and say, preacher, you know, we're not perfect, and we're not always going to get this right. Battery's dead. Kevin, you're going to have to switch those for me. Go ahead and put it on the next one, please. So we're not perfect. We can't always get this right. We're not going to be able to go and do everything that Jesus said to do every day of our life without fail, are we? Right? And I'm pretty sure you all know that. So what do we do? This is what the Spirit of God is about. This is what Jesus is all about. This is why we need Jesus. The Spirit of God is there to lead us and guide us in all that we do, reminding us of everything that Jesus ever taught. Remember that? We're not alone. When Jesus said go in to make disciples, He said, I'll go with you. Just go out in the world and make disciples. Go love God and love people, and I'll go with you. So what have we got to lose? Right? When we fail, people need to see that when we fail, we know how to recover in a way that honors God. Where they can stand back and say, hey, there's a guy right there. There's a lady right there. There's a whole family right there that really knows God. You want to know how I can tell? Because they're not perfect. And yet they still stay faithful to the one that they say they believe in. And they look just like those other people down the street that know God. It's not a different God. It's the same God. So the first thing that we can look at is our first point by attending faithfully, by participating in the kingdom of God faithfully. Philippians chapter 1, go back to the other slide. Philippians chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the Spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. There's a lot said in that verse. And this is just some encouragement to the people that this letter was written to stay faithful to what they believe. Stay faithful to the gospel that was preached to them. Notice it started off and it said, whatever happens. I think that's the key to that entire statement. Right? Because it's easy to praise God when everything's great, isn't it? It's easy to come to church when we're having an eating meeting afterward. Right? It's easy to do whatever Christians do when there's nothing else distracting us from that, when there's nothing else more important going on. But it's not so easy to stay faithful when the lights get turned out in your life, when things get turned upside down, when you get run over by this world's Mack truck that you don't see coming, right? It's not that easy to stay faithful and continue on with the witness, because nowhere in the Scripture does it say that we're to be faithful and make disciples and love God and love people unless your world is falling apart. Or unless you just don't feel like it. So our testimony, we have got to support the testimony of the body of Christ. Those people over there, they know God and they love God no matter what. That's our goal. And we need Jesus to do it. Now we can go to, let me go to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, and then chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. We'll get back to this later. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So this together with the previous verse, there's something that we are to do in this relationship, in this endeavor to make disciples and to serve God and love God and enjoy the blessings of His salvation that He offers us, right? But there's also something that God has done and is doing in it all. We're not alone in what we do. And if we are trying to be the church without God, if we're trying to be the church without His Spirit, if we're trying to be the church without who Jesus is, we're not supporting the testimony of the kingdom of God. Right? We're just building our own kingdom. We're doing our own thing and putting God's name on it. We're just putting a gorilla suit on and acting like a gorilla. Really. We're going to get back to this later because it talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now we can go to the next slide. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 to 25 is talking about, you've heard this before, plenty of times before, you've heard this verse. We are supporting the testimony by attending faithfully. We've talked about this in the first two sermons. We talked about this. Attending faithfully. And please don't understand me to say coming to church every Sunday is what it means to be a Christian. Because church attendance on Sunday morning is really what happens because of who you are in Christ all throughout the rest of your life. We've said that before. But I'm more talking about attending the fellowship, attending the service, attending the work, attending the prayer times, attending to each other. Whatever God leads the church to do, we need to be in attendance. We need to show up, right? And be a part of it. And I don't mean always physically. Sometimes we can show up by just being in serious prayer at home. For the needs of the church or for whatever might be going on within the lives of the people in the church or the community for that matter. Because that's what God does. And that's what God has sent us to do. So verse 19 to 25 says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, here it is, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here it is again. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We started this entire message series talking about those in the world who believe that you can be a Christian, you can be a child of God, you can be saved by the blood of Christ, and never be a part of a congregation, never be a part of the body of Christ, never attend a church, never get involved with what the church is doing. And it doesn't seem possible to me through the scripture that that is possible, right? It's not possible for us to do the things that we just read about without being with one another, without being involved in one another's life, without getting involved in the community, in the lives of other people. How on earth is anybody going to know that you're saved by grace if you don't share your life with someone else? It was once said that the relationship that we have with God is not a private relationship. It is a public relationship. It is between you and God and the world. Right? Now, some of the things between you and God are between you and God, but your life in Christ is for you to share with the world. Getting involved in the kingdom of God and getting lost in it is the goal. It becoming who you are. You're a servant to the kingdom, to the King of God. You're a servant to the kingdom of God. You're a servant to Jesus who saved you, right? Not because you have to be, because you desire to be. Because of His grace and His mercy. So the second thing, we support the testimony of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ by living a godly life. And this is where we go back to Philippians, where it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Now, I don't know how many times we can watch either ourselves or some other believer go to church on Sunday morning and act like everything is great and they love the Lord, and then walk out the doors and act like they don't even know Him the rest of the week. right? And I pray that we don't become guilty of that, or we're not guilty of that. And if we have been, that we would repent of that. Because it doesn't show the world who God is. It doesn't show the world the presence of God in our lives. So how on earth are we going to say to people that God is real, that Jesus is the Christ, and that because of sin, Jesus died on the cross so that we can be reconciled to a God who we offended, if we're not living like somebody died for us? Right? If we're not living like it's the most important thing in the world. We understand that the gospel is urgent, don't we? We understand that we don't get tomorrow. We understand that people are leaving this world every day without knowing Jesus as their Savior. And we, every one of us will say that that's true. And every one of us will say that we hope so-and-so and so-and-so and on down the line would get saved. But we cannot have the mentality that somebody else will go out and tell them. It's our responsibility as members of the body of Christ to go out and tell everybody and anybody, take every opportunity to show that Jesus is the Christ and that there is a serious matter at hand. Right? That's what the Bible says, the kingdom of God is at hand, when Jesus was teaching that. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The body of Christ is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is here. It's in the present. It's active in the world. And God will have his way. Y'all know that? He will have his way. And there will not be a person in this world that will leave this world without having an opportunity to respond to what Jesus did on the cross. The question is, are you and I going to participate in that? The question is, are you going to sit by and let everyone else do the work that God has called us to do, or are you going to get up and participate in it? That's how you support the testimony of the kingdom of God. Right? Because when people want to know what the church is about, when people want to know who these Christians are, these are some Christians that understand the reality of God and his kingdom and the reality of this world and are concerned about the people in this world. So much so that we will stop at nothing to present God to people so they can be saved. Right? And that's it right there. That's the mission. It's all about growing spiritually. It's all about allowing God to make you who he wants you to be so he can use you the way he wants to use you so that someone else will be saved so that he'll be glorified. It always ends with him being glorified. That's his goal. I'm God and no one else is greater than me. That's what he is. That's what he says. Your salvation and mine is for that purpose. The good thing is I get to receive the blessing of that. I don't have to be separated from God forever because I've offended him. It's what I deserve. But because he's an awesome God and he's a just God and he's a powerful God, merciful God, he chose Jesus to die on the cross so that I could be saved. And if we stop right there and say that the gospel is all about me going to heaven, we've missed it. The gospel is saying, all the gospel says is, here's this guy who totally failed God. Me, I'm talking about. And every other person in the world. And God said, I can fix that. Doesn't make any difference what that person did. I can fix that because I'm God. Doesn't matter how broken it is. I can fix it because I'm God. Yeah? And he says, I don't care how many times he's offended me. I love him anyway. Because I'm God. Satan will not win. Wickedness will not win. Right? If I said to you, I found a car that's for sale down the road and it never runs out of gas, and there's plenty of them to go down there and buy, would y'all run down there and buy one? It runs forever. You won't never have to buy gas again. You can't lose with that car, can you? I don't know why guys are so... We're so tied up with gas mileage all the time. Like, oh yeah, I got pretty good gas mileage. Because it costs money, right? We don't want to spend our money on things we don't have to. But at the same time, when we're preaching the gospel, when we're living for Christ, we don't live like it's We're not that meticulous. Maybe once in a while, I was like, oh, let me tell this guy about Jesus. We ought to be waking up every morning, asking God to prepare us for every person that comes in contact with us, that we would share God with them in some way, form, or fashion. Whether they're saved or not, doesn't matter. That we would be God, Jesus with hands and feet, Jesus' presence in the lives of people, because we're in Christ. That's how we support the testimony of the kingdom of God. We invest ourselves in the kingdom. In other words, we're all in. See, being a disciple, being a member of the body of Christ, is simply an investment, a series of investments. And everything you are and everything that you have and everything that God allows you to be a part of is your choice. Or are you going to invest that in the kingdom of God somehow or not? Now, here's what we know about investments in this world. When we try to invest in something, we expect a return, don't we? That's the goal. You're not going to invest in something you're going to lose money on or lose your investment, whatever the case is. You're not going to invest in something that's not going to give you a return. Doesn't seem logical. But the way the kingdom of God works in reference to the body of Christ is we're investing in the kingdom of God without any concern whatsoever about the return. Wait a minute. I thought you said we were making disciples because we want people to be saved. Well, we do. But didn't God say that his word will go out and not return void? Didn't he say that? See, it's not our job to manage the return on the investment when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's not our responsibility to make sure that there is a return on the investment. The basic way, I can say that in a basic way for guys like me to understand, it's not my job to make people get saved. It's not my job to make people believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's not even my job to prove that this Bible is right. I don't have to prove to anybody that this is true. I know it's true. Y'all know it's true. It's not my job to prove that it's true. It's just my job to live like it's true. It's my job to love people like it's true. And if I can help someone understand that it's true, that's great too. Because once somebody understands that this is the truth, then they have to consider Jesus and everything that he is. Don't y'all agree with that? So they're only going to understand that this is true. They're only going to even care if this is true if I invest in their life. If I invest myself in loving them, no matter what. Then they're going to say to themselves, well, there's something about this guy I got to know about. And then the relationship continues to build and they get to know more about you and they know why you believe what you believe and how you believe what you believe and what God saved you from and what God's done with you in your life and how they are in the same boat and how they need to be saved and what they can do about it. Next thing you know, they're cut to the heart and they want to know what to do about that. And we say, oh, I'm glad you asked. Just repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And then you too can live the same life, totally invested in the kingdom of God. Right? It's all about investments. John Ortberg wrote a bunch of books. He wrote a specific book called The Me I Want to Be. You can look it up. It's on Amazon. He says, the spiritual growth doesn't mean a life of doing what I should do instead of what I want to do. It means coming to want to do what I should do. Right? And if being a Christian is a task for you, if it's a burden for you, if it's something that you just have to make yourself do, there's something wrong. Make sense? When Abraham was told to take his son up to the mountain and take his life as a sacrifice, God told him that. You think that's something he wanted to do? You think that's something that he didn't even understand? He was like, Lord, you told me that I could have this son. You told me you were going to make me a great nation with this son. This is your promise right here. And you want me to kill him? You know he was at least thinking that in his mind. But what does it say? Look it up, read it. It says he woke up early the next morning to prepare to go and do what God sent him to do. Because he loved God and he wanted to be obedient to his God. Including doing things that are not comfortable. Including doing things you don't understand. Including doing the unthinkable. Now, I don't believe that God is going to ask you to do that, what he asked Abraham to do, right? The point is, he got up early in the morning and was eager to go do it. Now, I do believe that God's going to ask you to do some things that aren't comfortable. He's going to ask you to do some things that you would never think about doing on your own. You would never sign up to do it. But if we're busy picking and choosing the jobs that God has in his kingdom, we're missing it. Just get in line to serve and serve where he says to serve. Yes, sir, I'm on it. Let's do it. Help me do it. Whichever way you want me to do it, I'll do it. Right? It's hard. I don't know if you've ever been to any of the homeless shelters around or wherever they might be. But when a person's homeless for so long, there's a certain kind of smell that you just can't get off right away. It takes a lot of cleaning to get that to go away. Somebody's got to hug those people. Somebody's got to love those people, right? Let's take a more common situation. Let's say there's people that we talk about this in Sunday school. Let's say there's people that are just hard to love. They're just not very pleasant people. And God's saying to you, that's one I want you to get involved with. I want you to love them. Spend your life trying to witness to them. And you don't have no idea how to love a person that's hurtful. You don't have no idea how to love someone who doesn't know how to receive the love that God has for them. This is why we need Jesus, y'all. We can't do this on our own. If we try to support the testimony of the body of Christ in our own strength, we will fail every time. Every time. But if we go in Christ and we depend on the Spirit of God, we depend on the power of God, we depend on Jesus to do all the work, how can we lose? It's like driving a car that won't run out of gas. We just keep making disciples. And the next thing you know, somebody will be sitting in church with you worshiping, and you'll wonder, I didn't even think they were paying attention to me. I didn't think they would ever get saved. And then we grow because now we're stretched. Now we see more about God. All right, third point, and then I'll finish up. I'll tell you, I'll give you this third point in this little kind of funny deal. These two guys were stranded on this island, and one man was pacing back and forth, and he's worried and scared that nobody was ever going to find him. And he looked back at the other guy, and he was like kicked back against a tree, all taking a nap, comfortable, right? So he looks at him, and he's the guy that was pacing, he looks at the other guy, and he's like, hey, aren't you afraid we're going to be dying out here? Nobody's going to come and get us. We're going to starve to death, and the sun's just going to bake us in the prunes. And aren't you afraid of that? He was getting mad at the guy for not being worried. And the guy says, no, I make about $150,000 a year. The preacher will find me eventually. We support the testimony of the body of Christ and the local congregation by giving. By giving of everything that God has given. Not just finances. Every time a preacher talks about giving, everybody's like, well, it's my money, I'm going to talk about money. No, I'm talking about giving. Whatever, everything you have and everything you are, God gave to you, and it belongs to him. I think we all understand that. But it's for you to use for his kingdom. Right? For you to use to take care of your families. For you to use to raise your kids in God, in Christ. It's for you to use to show the world that he is God. Sometimes that's giving in our tithes and offerings. Sometimes that's helping out a missionary. Sometimes it's just giving in a time of need. Not always financially, but of every part of you. Time, your mind, your heart, your tears, your laughter. Sometimes you just need somebody to come and laugh with you. Right? But a lot of times it's money too. Because the kingdom of God uses money, doesn't it? Things cost money. Cost money for these missionaries to go around the world. Cost money to turn the lights on at the church so we can play train wreck music like we did this morning. Right? That's why we didn't hire a preacher to do worship. It's just the way it is. Everything costs money. Like right back there, we're building the sound booth, right? It's going to be nice when it gets done. Kevin's going to look sharp up there. He's going to look all, everything, all the sounds going to be totally different, isn't it, Kevin? Not really. But it's going to look a little bit more professional back there, isn't it? And that just doesn't happen, you know. And you guys, so far, this particular congregation, we're pretty good about stuff like that. Right? I praise God for that. Because there's a lot of congregations around the world that don't understand that. They don't get it. And they need help getting it. They need help understanding that. So we pray for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly and under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver." And I just sum it up just like this, and it's not just about, it's every part of who you are. Money, time, emotions, your intellect, your knowledge, your wisdom, who you are, your name. If you're giving that to anybody or to God and you're mad about it, you might as well just keep it, right? It's in us who we are to give. It's in us who we are to share what we are and what we have with everybody when God calls us to do so. This is who we are. This is what Jesus taught us to be, right? The whole reason behind this, and I'll close it up with this, the whole reason behind this entire sermon series is so that we can make sure that we have the proper understanding of what it means to be a member of the church. We don't need to have the understanding that being a member of the church means that I got my name on the church roll and that I have a say in what God's doing here. It's way bigger than that. Being a member of the church means I'm here to serve in the kingdom of God, and this is where God has led me to do it. And I don't see how you can be a member of the body of Christ. I don't see how you can be saved if that's not part of your life somewhere in this world. Nobody can be the church by themselves. And all of the things that I just went through with you guys are just a few of the things that we can focus on to help us grow into being the members that God wants us to be, right? So here we are. Our lives, I am just a man that, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy that was born into this world, and I'm going to leave this world, guaranteed. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? So why am I so special that I get to be in the presence of God when I leave this world? What's that all about? If it's not about God, who's greater than anything in this world? And why am I still here if I'm saved? If I can be forgiven, why don't I just go be with Him? Because I'll be honest with you, as great as this world can be and how beautiful as it is, I think I've said this before, I would much rather be in the presence of God. Amen. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? So why are we here? It's because there's still people lost. And this is the way God chose to do it. And we may not do it just right. We may fumble around. We may trip over ourselves while we're trying to make disciples. But if our heart is after making disciples every single day for the rest of our life, then it honors God, doesn't it? You can go out and be the worst disciple maker ever. If your heart is right with God in it, He can use that. And He will use that. You could have the worst day ever and be the greatest witness for the kingdom of God if you're sold out to Him. Make sense? This salvation I'm talking about as we get ready to sing is for everybody and anybody. No one is going to be left out of that offer. Right? And I'm going to say it every time. No, there's no reason whatsoever for you to wait any longer if you're not saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you ought to want to be baptized. You ought to want to repent. You ought to want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You ought to want to get involved in the kingdom of God, for the sake of those who are lost and for the sake of glorifying God and His kingdom. If you don't want that, then I can't help you. But if that's who you are, then now's the time to stand up here and do it, right? Now's the time to just say, I believe, and we'll get you baptized. We can repent. Let's stand together and we'll sing. You ready?